If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Hebrews, chapter number 4. It is good to be underneath the tabernacle again, here at High Point. I certainly have enjoyed every opportunity to be here, and it is an honor and a joy to be back. I believe I was not here last year for any of the meeting, so I just want to thank everyone. A year ago, this past May, on May the 8th, on a Thursday afternoon, about 5:30, I was digging two holes in front of my sidewalk to plant two flowers, to end a row of flowers. And while I was digging, my eyes went blurry, and my head went to spinning. Didn't know what was occurring. I grabbed hold of the golf cart, pulled myself up to the seat, or I would have sprawled out all over the front yard. But as I sat there, I would blink my eyes, and my eyes were still blurry. And I said, "Lord, you're going to have to help me. I need your help." My wife was pulling down the driveway with our granddaughter going to the local high school to get a sports physical. And she rolled down the glass. My eyes were closed. She said, "Papa, Reese said she loves you." And I opened my eyes. And they were clear. And my head had stopped spinning. And I said, "I love you too." And I waved. Long story short, I ended up having a stroke. But both my hospitalist and my neurologist, they looked at my chart. They looked at me, and they looked back at my chart. And my hospitalist said, "I hate to inform you, but you have had a stroke." I said, "I have." He said, "Yes, sir. But I just want to tell you, you're not the patient that this stroke says you ought to be." And he said, "You are a lucky man." I shook my head and I said, "No, doctor, I'm not a lucky man." I said, "The Lord has helped me." My neurologist done the same thing. And he said, "You are a lucky man." I said, "No, sir, the Lord has helped me." But I want to thank you for every prayer that you offered up for me. I'm just grateful for the intervention of God. I have had no effects of having a stroke whatsoever. My voice is as strong as it's ever been. Now my mind might be a little weak according to my wife, but everything's working good. Strength-wise, and I am grateful. Would you stand with me if you're willing and able here in Hebrews chapter 4? Hadn't you enjoyed the good singing? David, I appreciate that singing. That's a blessing. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. I just want to say tonight, there's no one like Him. Solomon said He is altogether lovely. There is no fade spots on the backside. Every way you look at Him, He is uniquely Himself. And tonight, Paul, who I believe to be the writer to the Hebrews, said we have a great high priest. That description puts Him on a level nobody else can reach. There has been no other high priest titled in such a manner. Aaron was never called the great high priest. Eleazar never bore that title of being the great high priest. I'm just here to tell you there have been approximately 76 high priests since Aaron, and none of those high priests have ever carried the title or name of being the great high priest. But I'm glad Jesus, the Son of God, is our great high priest. He has passed through the heavens, ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, and there make intercession for you and I. Bless His name. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I just want to make a public declaration. There is no way that Jesus could have ever sinned. I want to say that again. There is no way that Jesus could have ever sinned. He is the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God. There was no time that He never ceased to be God in His earthly pilgrimage. There was a day that He was not Jesus, but there has never been a day that He was not God. And tonight, I'm glad He could not sin. You say, well, what good is His temptation if He could never sin? Well, I just want to explain it to you like this. You're on the wrong side of the statement. You need to get on the other side and go to looking the way He is putting it. Do we have any engineers here that work for the state and build bridges? Anybody does that kind of work? I have traveled past the interchange of Interstate 40 and the new part of Interstate 74. They're building bridges to carry traffic and connect the
Interstate 74 to Interstate 40. When they complete those bridges, they will allow traffic to get on it. And they allow traffic to get on it not to see if it's going to fall, but to prove that it will not fall. Jesus was tempted not to see if he could sin. He was tempted to prove he could never sin. He's God manifested in the flesh. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Brother Charles Mustin, pray for me, would you? Oh, yes. Thank you tonight. Oh, Lord, help us. Yes, you do. Oh, yes. Oh, God, help us. God, help us tonight. Touch the need of every life. Help every man of God. Help every church. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I'm interested in verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to preach on that last statement. Find grace to help in time of need. Now, this evening, everything may be going well down at your house. Everything may be hitting on all eight cylinders at the church house. But there's a group of people sitting here tonight that are faced with needs. Staring them square in the eyes. And if you are not in need tonight, just hold on. It'll get to you after a while. But I am thankful that whenever that time of need comes, you and I are told that we can find grace to help us in time of need. Tonight, some of you are sitting here and your time of need may be the sickness of a husband or the sickness of a wife. It may be a declining health of a parent or an in-law. It might be the death of a loved one. But you are facing a time of need in your life. Good news. The Bible said that I can find grace to help me whatever my time of need gives. It may be the unfaithfulness of a spouse. It might be division and brokenheartedness in a family or a home. It might be the loss of a job, but you are facing a time of need. I'm just here to tell you there is grace to find, to be found, to help you wherever you're walking at tonight. I want to say three things about this text, and I'm going to be done. I want us to look at the kind of help that grace provides. You ask some people how they're doing, and they will respond, better than I deserve. And they are exactly right. Oh, I am grateful that it is not a throne of judgment. Amen. It is not a throne of justice. It is not a throne of purity, even though those things describe our Lord. But I am certainly glad that it is a throne of grace. And grace will give you help in your time of need. Hallelujah tonight. Number one. You will find in the text that it is help that stabilizes. Help that stabilizes. The word help here in our text indicates that kind of assistance, that kind of aid that is found at the throne of grace. When you stabilize something, you make it less likely to break apart. You make it to become less likely to die. When a patient goes into critical care, they are interested in stabilizing their condition. And tonight, I'm glad that grace will help you and I and stabilize our lives. This word for help is only found twice in our New Testament. The other place where it is found is in the book of Acts, chapter 27 and verse number 17, when Paul is on board ship. They have encountered the storm there, the tempest on the sea. For 14 days and nights, they will neither see sun nor moon. They are driven by the wind. But in verse 17, it says, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. You say, preacher, what in the world was that? They had already unladen the cargo. They had made the ship as light as possible, but there was the danger of the ship breaking apart due to the magnitude of the storm. And what those sailors done, they fed strong ropes one at a time underneath that ship. They caught it on the other side. They would tie a sailor's knot where they could pull it as tight as they could. And they would move down another 10 feet. They'd shoot another rope underneath, do the same all the way down the deck of that ship. What they were doing, they were keeping the ship from breaking apart due to the strength of the wind. Some of you tonight feel like your life is breaking apart. The stormy winds have blown and the circumstances of life have made you feel like there's no hope for you. You're going to die in the condition you're in. Your home, your family, your church. Oh, but I may remind you tonight the kind of help grace will give to you will stabilize. It will stabilize your life. You remember Elisha's servant at the city of Dothan? He went out one morning and there he saw all the host of Syria and their army surrounding the entire city. And he wrung his hands. His blood pressure shot up all of a sudden. His life was unsteady. And he ran back in and said to Elisha, "Oh, don't you know that this city is surrounded?" And it's as if Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes. He has said it exactly right. This city is surrounded, but he's looking too low. God help him to look up into the clouds where the chariots of fire and the horsemen of heaven are abiding." Hallelujah. His life got stabilized in a hurry. Aren't you glad? Grace will provide that kind of help for you. Number two, it is a help that is suitably timed. Read it with me. Find grace to help in time. Stop right there. Find grace to help in time. Some of you have thought God has forgotten about you. But I want to tell you the kind of help you find at the throne of grace will come at the right time. It is well timed. It is opportune time. It is at an appropriate time, at a needed time in your life. I'm glad God is never late. God is never hesitant. God is never delayed. Oh no, when he arrives, he's always on time. He's always in time. Always well timed. Always appropriate time. Oh, tonight he knows exactly where you're at. Amen. Whether we are scraping the bottom of our barrel or our backs are against the wall, God's help comes in time and on time. Hallelujah. I remember years ago, my son was working for the hospital and his job was being terminated. it was terminated. He began to sign up, and he had been looking for a job, could not find one, and it was on a Friday. He went to the sign up a place. It was the last check he would receive. That was it. He had done exhausted all of his sign up. But I remember getting a call from my son that day. He had been at the church and he said, "Dad, I just want to tell you, I got a call just a few minutes ago and I have got a job." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad when you get to the end of your rope? That's when God a lot of time comes to our aid. You can't take any glory for yourself. You must acknowledge it is Him and Him alone. It's not human ingenuity. It is not human ability. It is not in chariots or horses that you and I find our help, but it comes from a compassionate Father from above down to where we're at. You remember Simon Peter in Acts chapter number 12. James has already been martyred. And Peter has been put in prison. And Herod is going to do the same thing to Simon Peter. And that night, while Simon lay asleep, the angel of the Lord came and woke Peter up and led him out of that prison. I'm just here to tell you, God is always in time. He's always on time. He's always well timed. You say, "Well, preacher, why did the angel have to wake Simon Peter up? If it had been me facing execution the next morning, I would have not been able to sleep a wink. I would have been awake all night long." You know why Simon Peter could go to sleep facing such a dreadful day? Because in John chapter 21, when he and the Lord were talking about Simon Peter's life, he made a statement to Peter about his death. He said, "Peter, when thou art old," when thou art old. Simon Peter was not old in Acts chapter 12. And Simon Peter laid his head down on the solid promises of God's word, slept like a baby. The angel had to roust him up to get him awake. He is asleep and so soundly. Aren't you glad the Lord comes to our aid at the suitable time, at the needed time of our life? Amen. Yes, sir. I read this, and it is documented. In the early days of the Dallas Theological Seminary, there was a serious financial crisis. If they did not receive an amount of money on a specific day, the existence of the school was threatened. And Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer was the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, at that time and on that specific day, he called all of his professors, all of his workers, all of his teachers and workers into the conference room and said, "We're going to have a prayer meeting. We need God to intervene for our need." And Dr. Harry Ironside prayed this prayer. It is documented. Dr. Ironside prayed this, said, "Lord, I have read where you own a cattle on a thousand hills. Would you sell some of them and give us the money?" It wasn't but just a few minutes. His secretary interrupted the prayer meeting and said, "Dr. Schaefer, there is a man out here that says he must talk to you." And Dr. Schaefer said, "Send him in." He walked in and he said, "Dr. Schaefer, I'm a rancher. I don't know what's come over me, but God told me this morning to sell my cows and to bring you the money I got." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God is always in time, always on time, always well-timed? That's the kind of help that the throne of grace provides for you and me. It is a help that is suitably timed. But lastly, it is help that is set in place. Help that is set in place. My family gave me an iPhone, my son did, for Christmas. And it done this other night. And this is what my iPhone says. It said, "It looks like you've taken a hard fall." It's too smart for its britches. I ain't fell yet. It is a help that is set in place. Let's read that last phrase. Find grace to help in time of need. In relationship to need, where is the word grace? Grace is at the beginning. Grace is before the need. Grace is already set in place before we ever get to the need. There are six words between grace and need. And before the need ever arises in my life, God said grace is already set in place to give you the help you need for your life. Before you ever made your way to that hospital room, God already had grace set aside to help your life. Hallelujah to His name. Aren't you glad we serve that kind of God tonight? It doesn't catch Him by surprise. It doesn't catch Him unaware. He knows. He knows what what we're going to face. And he said, I've already put grace aside so you can find help when you get to your need. He's done that all through the Bible. When Abraham was going up the mountain, and Isaac said to Abraham, I see the wood and I see the knife. He said, where is the sacrifice? Abraham made this prophetic statement and said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And when they got to the top of that mountain and Isaac lay on that altar of sacrifice, as Abraham is fixing to draw that knife back and slit his own son's throat, knowing that God had the power to raise him from the dead, all of a sudden he sees a ram caught in the thicket. God had already provided a sacrifice before it was ever needed. Hallelujah. I'm glad he knows where you walk. He knows where I'm at. And there is grace. There's a little ram caught in the thicket. And there is help from God. Amen. Did you know before the Hebrew children ever were thrown into the fiery furnace, the Son of God was already in the fire? Help was already there. That's why they didn't burn up. Because he was in the fire with them. Oh, I am glad that's the way God operates. Did you know before I ever knew that I needed to be saved? Before I ever knew that I was a sinner, a lost and undone, Christ had already died on the cross for me. Hallelujah. Before I ever knew I had a need, he already had the grace set aside to meet my need. Hallelujah tonight. And did you know that little widow woman in the city of Nain? Did you know that her son dies? She's already been to the graveyard and buried her husband. But her son dies that day. And in that culture, they buried their dead the same day they died. But as they were going to the tombs, they were headed out the city gate. Here come an entourage up on the side of the city meeting them at the gate. It was Jesus and his disciples and those who were following. They met right there. Jesus met the need of this son who had died. He raised him from the dead. That mother was joyous and thankful. But let me just tell you something about it. Where did Jesus come from to come to the city of Nain? He had been in the city of Capernaum. Capernaum was about 20 to 22 miles from the city of Nain. Her son died sometime that morning, and Jesus got there before they ever took him to the cemetery. You know what happened long before that boy ever died that morning? Jesus was already on his way coming to the city of Nain. Aren't you glad God has grace set aside for our lives? Whatever your need demands. I don't care the magnitude of it. I don't care how many needs it entails. There is grace already set aside for your life. Let's stand tonight. That's the message of my heart. I don't know who's going to do the invitation.
But y'all come on around. If you want to play something for us, that'll be all right. And if God's spoken to you, you may have a need in your life. I'm just here to tell you there is grace that will help you in your time of need. It may be a wayward grandson. It may be a rebellious granddaughter. It may be heartache and sorrow. I'm just here to tell you there is grace to help in time of need. While she begins to play, others are coming. God's speaking to your heart. Would you come tonight?